The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing the center of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, critic of thoughts and the intent of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are in our study this morning, Genesis 24, where we are now in the analysis of verses 17 through 20. Christ himself proclaimed the true worshipers worship in spirit and truth. The combination is God the Holy Spirit, who indwells all believers but does not necessarily fill all believers. And under the case of personal sin of life, we lose the filling ministry. In order to regain the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit, demands that we employ the rebound technique, 1 John 1:9, whereas our prayer of confession, acknowledgement of sins to God, known and unknown, he forgives us all sins up to that point in time and present. We are filled with God the Holy Spirit. We are in a state of spirituality to then approach the second ingredient necessary for true worship, and that is the content of the Scriptures, the truth of Bible doctrine, Old Testament and New Testament combined. It is in this way that we are able to assimilate God's Word undistorted by the sin nature, to therefore benefit in a maximum way, as so designed, all the spiritual realities that are embedded in regards to the Scriptures in and of themselves, and advance ourselves spiritually and fulfill the rebound and maturity adjustment to the justice of God in regards to our Christian life. So with that in mind, we'll give you the opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your perfect plan. We thank you for your omnipotence, the fact that you will protect this plan for every aspect of it, execution of it, and that it will be indeed fulfilled exactly as your word has so prescribed in the Scriptures. We ask once again this morning that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to these matters at hand in our studies so that we can continue to advance ourselves, our own thinking. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here in the narrative, Abraham's servant, who's been commissioned to go find a wife for Isaac, Abraham's son Isaac, he has arrived at the public well outside the city of Nahor after about a month's trek with his caravan of 10 camels and servants. And he has put the camels down to rest, and he obviously has a mission that can be somewhat daunting when you think about it. That is to come up with the right opposite number for Isaac, even though he knows where to go look for her, according to Abraham's instructions from the relatives of Abraham. He obviously does not know the specific individual that God has in store and is the right woman for him. So the servant, obviously, needs divine guidance. He recognizes divine providence as he has arrived at the well in the evening time, perfect timing for when the women, young women, maidens, would come down to get water, etc., from the well. And he asks in prayer for God to give him divine guidance with respect to trying to identify the right opposite number. His prayer, as we saw, is both petition and intercession. His petition in general is that God grant him success on that day, today. The intercessory is that God continue to manifest his chesed, his loyal love to his master Abraham. The specifics, then, of the petition prayer is for God to bring about a woman that would pass a self-created character test in regards to the servant's vision and view of what he would look for on behalf of Isaac being a good wife. And that is that upon his request that she would give him a drink of water without showing hospitality, without hesitation otherwise in that regards. And then on her own accord, apart from anything that he would say, to then volunteer to water all the camels. And that obviously is quite a leap, as we know from other verses that Abraham had servants, the servant had other servants to help him, men there with him in this caravan. And for a female to offer to do a chore over and beyond what she has to do anyways would be quite unique in this respect. And the prayer is not trying to be cute. It's not being careless, needing a sign in life to look for God's will. It is of necessity in regards to seeking out something that he has absolutely no idea where to look in regards to an individual. And he recognizes that it is God that places together right opposite spouses, man and woman, in regards to the divine institution of marriage in this respect. And even before his prayer is finished, Rebecca, to be wife of Isaac, shows up on the scene. She walks up to the area of the spring. She has a water jar on her shoulder. This obviously grabs his attention as he's wrapping up his silent prayer before God. She's got the utensil, the instrument necessary in order to fulfill the character test otherwise of providing water. And she goes down and she fills up the jar with water. And indeed, she, as the narrative author tells us, is none other than Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Nahor, of Abraham's family, specifically Abraham's brother in that regards. And after she fills up the water jar, comes back up, now in verses 17 through 20, the test is administered. And as the verses bring out, she passes the character test in this respect. Rereading here verses 17 through 20. Then the servant ran to meet her. Our verb to run is rutz. It means he operated in haste to encounter her, to head her off at the pass, if you will, and said, please let me drink a little water from your jar. In verse 18, she said, drink, my lord. And she quickly, with haste, lowered her jar to her hand and gave him a drink. Verse 19, now when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw also for your camels until they have finished drinking. In verse 20, so she hastily or quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran back to the well to draw, and she drew for all his camels. All right, we're looking at the analysis. Just pick up point one here in regards to the analysis in these verses. One, the servant here obviously had a strong premonition regarding this particular woman, apart from any others, and so ran to meet her. Obviously, that she appears on the scene, he's wrapping up this prayer, still hadn't quite finished it. She's very attractive. Obviously appealing to the eye, but more so the timing of everything puts it in his thinking, all right, well, this is where the door is obviously being opened right at the moment, so this is the direction I'm going to go. This is looks like where God wants me to head for my initial test in this regards. So, two, now his act of running here. He runs to meet her. Why? Why would he have to double time it in regards to finding her as if she's going to get away, etc., with a full jar of water on her shoulder? So the act of running here adds a further element to the test. It gave the appearance that time was of the essence and a need of expediency was required to himself engage quickly in haste. To look for a drink of water, to ask for a drink of water, would give the impression that either the guy's about ready to die of thirst, which obviously he doesn't give that appearance, or the individual is in quite a hurry. He needs to move quickly in regards to whatever the situation is at hand. So, three, the servant here sets the tempo in regards to this whole situation. He sets the tempo to further evaluate the girl's ability to be observant beyond the scope of this prayer, even beyond just fulfilling the particulars of giving him a drink of water, and then offering the water of the camels. One would think that would be enough. The servant is, again, a thinking man, and he wants to test her observation skills, her thinking, her energy, etc., in regards to her person. And therefore, as it would relate, as he is obviously thinking on behalf of what a husband would look for in a wife in this regards, he wants to see if the girl is going to pick up his immediate actions in addition to his request that he is going to make after the fact. So, for in turn, would she be enthusiastic or reticent in application? He's in a hurry. Is she going to sit there and hem and haw about it first? Accuse him of harassment or whatever? Or is she going to immediately respond? And in her own thinking, there is a need here that needs immediate help in this regards. So, five, this would reveal her mental attitude and application. While people may carry through physically, overtly, applications in regards to helping people, they can do so and have a bad mental attitude doing it. See, and we recognize that. If one quickly reacts in regards to requests, commands, etc., from a situation, this shows that they obviously, basically, have a good mental attitude, and they are zealous and want to make the application in that respect. So, six, the servant sets the tone where the girl follows his lead, as it is in the divine institution of marriage, of the household, the husband being authority, the wife being a subordinate, the helpmate in this regards. It's the husband's responsibility to set the tone of the house with his authority. And then for the wife, obviously, to follow that lead in regards to needs and fulfilling her role as a positive adjusted wife in regards to her husband. That's generally the aspect of it in any situation where you have an authority involved, and subordinates is the authority is the one who sets the tone, sets the pace in regards to the circumstances, situations around. If the morale is low, the authority seeks to raise that morale, get the troops pumped up, things of this nature, to not let them lollygag, let their minds wander apart from the mission to hand, and all these other things that would be within his scope of responsibility as a leader. See, so obviously, contrary to what our society, at least through the media, not everybody buys into this, by the way. The media makes it look like everybody does, but not everybody does. The husband and wife are equal in authority. And the wife can be the matriarch of the house and order her husband around and things of this nature, all the programs, sitcoms even, that generally will even give the husband some authority in the household, still falls and lacks in regards to really representing that correctly. But either way, it is the husband that sets the tone, just like the parents set the tone for the children. So that's one of the responsibility as an authority to realize that you're in charge. So now, how's everybody going to be around you in regards to your own person? If you're weak, if you're failing the faith rest, if you're emotional, then don't be surprised that the subordinates around you adopt the same type of characteristics. See? Now, you got to be stable, be consistent. Obviously, it doesn't mean we're perfect as authorities in this regards, but to stay the course and help provide that confidence for those whom God has given you the responsibility to assist and lead, etc., in regards to your life in that respect. So the test here, the servant runs, he sets the tone. Now, is she going to pick up on this and follow his lead? And which she does. So, 7 is a way to test whether this potential helpmate has the kind of qualities that demonstrate an unhesitant willingness to respond to her husband's needs. One of the killers in regards to getting things done for an authority that has a goal and a mission that he must fulfill in that regards is have subordinates that consistently procrastinate and drag their feet in regards to fulfilling their responsibilities and duties. And when they do, it obviously upsets the tempo in regards to the entire organization often in situations such as that. And for a husband here looking for a potential helpmate, you don't want a wife that is, I'll do it when I feel like it or I get around to it, etc. Obviously, we're not being insensitive. A husband that is demanding upon a wife that's sick and incapable of doing something and still demanding, they're the jackass. But anyway, overall, in general, in principle, see. You want a wife that is, yes, willing. Yes, my Lord, as Sarah would say, in regards to fulfilling needs, in regards to the husband's wishes, etc., in that respect. So it's quite an illustration in regards to the length that the servant will go here to try to ascertain and discern a right opposite number in regards to his master Isaac and Abraham, to do Abraham right on behalf of Abraham's son Isaac in that respect. 8, will she be observable to the entirety of the situation, or one that will dismiss certain cues as irrelevant in her duties as a wife? In other words, dismiss as irrelevant actions indicating otherwise. Obviously, this could be applied in any number given situations. To not be the kind of person that only does what they have to do to get by in life, see. To have motivation, initiative, to be industrious, and to not only wait to be told what to do, but to look for things, obviously, otherwise that might could be done, and especially as they learn their authorities' characteristics, needs, things of this nature. One of the great assets in regards to managing a lot of people is having good secretaries that really take care of their boss in regards to things. They learn what their boss's needs are. They learn what his habits are, his scheduling. They're on top of all this. And they're there as a constant reminder and help, etc., in regards to making sure that with all the plethora of responsibilities that he has, you know, that indeed they're taken care of in that regard. It's just something that came off my mind. I've had the good ones and I had the bad ones in my profession. So will she be observable to the entirety of the situation, or one that will dismiss certain cues as irrelevant in her duties as a wife? To take on that responsibility on doctrine, under the eyes of God, for the female, is to be willing to assume being a helper, to be industrious and assisting And, the old saying, success of man depends upon having a good woman or a good wife, etc. in that regards. There is some truth to that, definitely, in that respect. And when you don't have that, then obviously there is a missing link, and it's not curly Q, in regards to the structure and function of the household. Now, we have today, everybody has to, and men especially, have to take in consideration of a working wife outside the home. Here we're looking at a situation where wife will be where the preferred position is, and that is to be a housewife, to take care of the family, take care of the children, household needs. Obviously, their household needs is quite vast. The industry of Abraham that Isaac's going to inherit and helping out, obviously, not unlike having a business in and of itself running from the household. So, obviously, these things are all taken in consideration in our exhortations. 9, it is this necessary quality that sets forth any candidate to be a Sarah's daughter. Sarah was set forth as an example because her mental attitude was right, an acclimation to her authority. And she was the type of wife that didn't give her husband lip and did what she was supposed to do upon request, and obviously to be observant and help out otherwise. She let her actions speak for her soul. See. 10, in fact, it was under the pressure of haste that Sarah was ordered to bake bread the afternoon of Yahweh's visit, back in Genesis 18:6. Quickly, go bake bread in the middle of the afternoon in the heat of the day, in the tent. And it wasn't an RV with air conditioning. It was a tent with heat, dirt. Table's a little dusty. Get on it. That'd be rude. But anyway, see, people think they have it rough today. On one end of the coin, there's probably not a better time to live in regards to modern technology and the convenience of life and comfort. On the other end of the coin, it's not going to be any more evil, basically, than what we are seeing on the horizon in regards to our society and the world at large. So, we have the same verb that's translated quickly in regards to Rebecca lowering her jar to give him a drink and then initiating her chore of watering the camels in the command in regards to Abraham to Sarah. You don't want to be like that husband and wife on Hee-Haw, the old drunk sitting there at the table, and his wife just nothing but curves and hairpins, always with iron in her hand. Oh, man. I have relatives like that. I'm kidding. I don't know that. All right, 11, here's where we pick up. It appears the servant, in observance of Sarah over the years, uses her as a standard for picking Isaac's right mate. He has an example he can draw upon of what constitutes a positive adjusted wife, and that is none other than Mrs. Abraham, Sarah. Obviously, he's observed their relationship over the years. He's seen their weaknesses, but he's also seen their strengths. And through this aspect of running, then you pick up on the suggestion that he is considering the operation of their household and her person as a standard of which would be good to follow in regards to a right woman for Isaac. And obviously the scripture agrees with him. Because wives who want to be considered positive and adjusted should aspire to be a Sarah's daughter. And will she not be eventually? In a literal sense, even though Sarah's already gone. All right, 12. To initiate the test here, he then asks, please let me drink a little water from your jar. Gama na me'eth ma'im min kad. Kad for jar. 13. The fast pace established by the servant is obviously observed by Rebecca, as she did not hesitate and said, drink, my lord. And she quickly lowered her jar to her hand and gave him a drink. Amar shathah, to drink. Adon, wa mahar, quickly, with haste. While your rod cad, al yad, yad, wow, shakah. So 14, the verb quickly, with haste, mahar, the verb mahar, is followed by the hifil, imperfect, lowered, causative, yarad, positioned in the jar, literally upon her hand, using the preposition al, upon. Kad al-yad, from which the servant could drink, shakah. In other words, she took the jar and she put it down and lowered it into her hand. She cupped her hand so that he could then drink from her hand when he was going to satisfy his thirst. So 15, it can't be missed, the classy action of using her hand as a cup, rather than just handing over or setting down the jar for the servant to help himself. May I have a drink? Sure, bam, help yourself. The hillbilly style. Now, this woman's got class. This really fine-tunes her in regards to her personality and her character. You bet. And she gets down, and daintily, as you would think from a woman of this type, with class, lest the water run in her hand so that he can simply drink from that without getting any water all over him and all the other stuff he'd have to go through to get a drink with a heavy full jar in that respect. And she's able to do that with a full jar of water, a fairly large jar of water. You probably don't want to arm wrestle with her either. But anyway. 16, it reveals she was willing to extend herself even in the little things in life. She paid attention to detail. See, that's another aspect in regards to fulfilling one's obligations as a subordinate under one's authority, is to pay attention to detail. If we didn't pay attention to detail, look how much we'd miss in the scriptures. We'd be just like the Fundies. It'd be nothing but superficial and shallow. Because they don't pay attention to detail. They're more into entertaining emotionalism, cover the big points, and move on. So, just these little things that we pick up on, paying attention to detail in the language here, the additional insight, things that sets apart people in time in regards to class, personality, character, their nature in general, a lot of times their upbringing. 17, she passed the easy part of the servant's self-imposed test here, obviously, with flying colors. A very hospitable person, needless to say. 18, next follows the make or break part of the test in her volunteering to water the man's camels until they have finished drinking as she does. Gamal ad in kala shatha. 19, the PL verb, emphatic, finished kala in the Hebrew, means until they are satiated. A camel can drink a lot of water. And these camels have been traveling. And they're going to be thirsty. And she's not offering just to let them wet their lips a little bit. Pour half a cup of water in the dog's bowl. When he's hot, let him lap it up and want more. No, she's willing to water until they are satiated in regards to their thirst. 20. In addition, she doesn't merely ask to do this chore. And this is another little fine point here in the language. But she insists, using the imperfect of the verb, I will draw. Sha'av in the Hebrew. Doing an action already completed in her mind. She doesn't ask if she can draw. She says, I will draw. And the imperfect in the Hebrew denotes completed action, even though it's generally translated in the future. So 21, on her own initiative, she exposes a tenaciousness in her desire to help further fueling her hospitable mental attitude and drive to water the 10 thirsty animals until all are satisfied. So, to conclude, she's going to do this. Denotes that she's insistent to want to help. And she's tenacious in this regard. That shows a drive, a spirit that's attached to her that is generally appreciated by others who are looking for good help in life. And it definitely checks her mental attitude and pushes it up a notch. The narrative leaves blank the servant's response, insinuating that at this point he was probably mesmerized, just giving a nod of approval. It doesn't say whether he says it or not. It leaves it to your imagination. The absence of it, you can just imagine what's going through his mind. I mean, his prayer basically is being answered right in front of his eyes, immediately. And here's this woman. It's not just, okay, let me think about it. No, with zeal, with zest, self-motivation, self-initiative, she jumps in, I want to help. And by making her claim, he just probably... Help yourself. Knock your socks off. I don't know if they wore socks back then. Knock your sandals off. Go ahead. Go for it. So the narrative leaves blank the servant's response, insinuating that at this point he is probably mesmerized. Excuse me. Still fighting a little bit. I need a smoke. Anybody got a smoke? No, I'm just kidding. The narrative leaves blank. The servant's response, insinuating that at this point he is probably mesmerized, just giving a nod of approval. Sorry if that grossed you out. I can be worse, but I won't. 23. Again, Rebecca does not dilly-dally and quickly emptied her jar into the trough. Quickly, again, our word mahar. And ran repeatedly, as it states in the Hebrew. to the well to draw, and she drew for all his camels. The entire Hebrew spelled out for you there, Maharwa, Ara, Kad, El, Hashoketh, Baruz, Run, Odel, Haber, the well, Lamashav, Waashav, Lamed, Kol, Gamal, camels. 24, it is observed that Rebecca is the subject of 11 action verbs and only two of speech in verses 18 through 20. Further virtues of Sarah's daughter. A woman of few words and an unbelievable action. 1 Peter 3, 1 and 4. Even if your husband is a jackass, even if he is disobedient to Bible doctrine himself, this is the exhortation, verse 1, to the positive adjusted wife. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. Do not be the type of female that is going to badger, be contentious, and things of this nature, verbally, in regards to the affairs of the household. As an adjusted, positive wife, basically, you are to fulfill your wifely duties. Doesn't mean you can't talk. Doesn't mean there's not a place for a wife to converse with the husband. That's stupid. No, but it means that you're going to let your actions, your applications, be that which God can look at and draw upon in regards to any issues he needs to take up with the old man that might be disobedient to the word otherwise. You got to realize God's big on authority. And even though an authority may be out of step and abusive on occasions and things of this nature, if the subordinates are acting out on their own part, I guarantee you, generally speaking, the authority is going to get away with what they're doing. You're not going to see much. But for the subordinate that is submissive and applying Bible doctrine otherwise, then that opens the doors for God to then come in and deal with the authority in an appropriate situation. That's the way it works. That's the mechanics for it. You don't want to be the horsey, mouthy woman in the house. Do this, do that. No, apply Bible doctrine. Take care of your responsibilities in the household. And let God deal with the authority. Obviously, I recognize it's sometimes things get carried away. And maybe one has to separate in order to find legal protection and things of this nature. I understand all that. But we're looking at the preferred method, the application of Bible doctrine, if you want to, as we would say, have maximum blessing in regards to your household. As they observe, verse 2, your fidelity and respectful behavior. Bake me a pie. What is that finger for? That's not respectful. I obviously may be kidding around. But, you know, to be lippy, things of this nature. And let not your adornment be only external, looking good for the old man. Braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses. It doesn't say not to do these things. It says not to only do these things. There's a place for it. There's a place for looking nice. But the most important thing is the condition of your soul spiritually and your attitude and application to doctrine towards the household otherwise. But let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. Gentle and quiet spirit. being submissive to their own husbands. Not the wife with the iron in her hand, ready to knock the drunk over the side of his head, see, even though they may feel like it. Watching the frying pans fly across the room. Some of the things I got to see growing up. It was never dull in my house. They don't want to act up. I'll do it for them. Reminiscing, sorry. So, here we see Rebecca, showing the types of characteristics, the virtues, that would qualify her to be a daughter of Sarah, spiritually and otherwise. So 25, now the number of trips necessary up and down the incline between the spring and the water trough is obviously numerous. You've got 10 thirsty camels. And obviously, depending on what size they are, we noted that camels on the general small ones can carry up to about 400 pounds without any issues for days on a time. Probably about the same as a horse. But the large ones can carry up to almost 900 pounds or more. So depending on how big they are, how long it's been since they've had water, obviously all these things play. But the trip would be numerous. In this respect. So 26, again, there was no lollygagging. It's always fun when you can find places to use these kind of words. No lollygagging with this woman as she ran repeatedly. In the Hebrew is rutz ad. Back and forth after emptying what remained from the first jar into the trough. Put her hand down, gave the servant a drink from her hand. And then she took the rest of the water, the first jar, emptied it into the trough, the watering trough for the animals, and started her chore of running up and down the incline to get to the water and put it into the trough for these camels to drink. So 27, a single camel could have easily drunk a jar of water. So we can roughly figure how many trips up and down the incline was made. Probably at least 10, if not more. 28, Rebecca did all this with no aspiration of reward or praise. And you have that aspect, that level, that layer of SGA human viewpoint. To do things and then expect immediate reward. That's the way our society teaches parents often to deal with their children. You know, the Spock mentality. There's a place for it. I'm not saying there's not. But the true application in regards to giving is to give in your heart and without strings attached. You don't have to have somebody come up and pat you on the back every time you do something right. See? How needy is that? Or praise. And Rebecca, you'll see no indication of her. She's not asking for anything. She's just doing her job. She has the right mental attitude. She does it with zeal. And unsolicited, God's just going to dump blessing in her life because of it. 29, she did what she did. And in the aforementioned described manner, because of who and what she was. This kind of personality, character that she possessed. Probably a lot to do with the upbringing. As we will see in the description of the family, names and omission of names, it looks as if her mother basically was the matriarch of the household. That her father was the passive, weak-kneed, authority-type figure. And it's probably where she picked up a lot of this. Mom was just a take-charge type of person and passed that down to her daughter. See? to get out and do things. You can't depend upon the old man to help. That kind of thing. But anyway, we'll see that when we get there. 30, by her actions, she exhibited the best character traits in a female of her age and upbringing. A young woman of marital age. If you're a doctrinal single doctrinally adjusted female, that's a witness you can throw out in the cosmos that would probably stun most other people around you today, especially this generation, our current generation. Instead of going with the flow, embracing the cosmos, show them what it means to be a real woman, a real female, one that's that honors God. It doesn't have to be rebellious like the rest of the world. It doesn't have to imitate the rest of the cosmos. See? If you're looking for a husband that is positive and adjusted to Bible doctrine, you might want to consider these things. If you don't really care and you just want a husband, well, go for it. Yeah, we've seen how many people have done that in time and how successful that's been. So her actions show the virtues of a female that almost impeccable in this regard. Now, obviously, she's going to have her own problems. And part of this is going to spill out her kind of take charge mentality, etc., when we get down to Jacob and Esau. She's going to take charge of that situation too, man. See? But you got a husband, Isaac, who is passive in the situation. It's just interesting to see these personalities, different personalities, but they're all positive. You know, it's issues that they had, but it doesn't mean they weren't positive. It's just things that they had to overcome eventually and get a handle on in regards to their lives. 31, she was not self-consumed, but rather showed real class and an interest in her fellow man, even showing compassion on animals. That's the kind of nature she expressed. 32, she applied with zeal. She applied with zeal. Not, I have to. You know, I have to love you because I'm your parent or something like that. As the comedians like to point out. All right. In verses 21 through 25, we have further identification of the woman. Further identifying this woman. Alright, so she has passed the self-imposed character test by the servant. But that does not mean the prayer has been answered yet. All this could come about and still be missing an integral part in regards to the prayer and the situation at hand. And that is, obviously, who are her relatives? Is she from Abraham's relatives or not? So here you have an example of the doors open, a green light. You're walking through. Because you have one green light, say, okay, this is definitely God's will for my life? Or you continue to be discerning to make sure that all your bases are covered doctrinally otherwise? And in spite of his prayer, as amazing, as miraculous as it was, he's still under instructions that this woman cannot be from the Canaanite population whatsoever. It must come from the family. And even though he's in the general vicinity where they reside, it doesn't mean that they're the only ones that reside there. All right, 21 through 25 here. That gives you kind of a heads up here. 21. Meanwhile, the man was gazing at her in silence to know whether the Lord had made his journey successful or not. Looking at the Hebrew here. and the man, vowel conjunction, definite article, or noun for man, ish, ish, common masculine singular absolute, was gazing. Was gazing is the hithpael form of the participle, masculine singular construct, sha'a, S-H-A-A-H. Hithpael is reflexive. He himself was gazing. Basically, if you will, just kind of staring, looking. See. At her is the preposition lamed with the third feminine singular suffix. Then in the New American Standard, in silence. in silence is the hithil participle, masculine singular absolute, karash, C-H-A-R-A-S-H. Literally, this word means to engrave, plow, or devise, such as a coppersmith hammering out, engraving, something of that situation. I think a better translation is deeply thinking. That obviously, you're deep in thought, generally you're silent. You're not verbalizing. You're thinking deeply. That's the idea here. Here, for what? You have the preposition lamed with the cal infinitive construct yada, Y-A-D-A, to discern, to know. Whether is your interrogative particle ha, H-A. He has been made successful. You have the hithil perfect third masculine singular tasalech. T-S-A-L-E-C-H. He caused to succeed and make successful. This being Yahweh on his behalf. A proper noun. The Lord. His journey. His journey is the common both singular construct noun with the third masculine singular suffix or word derek, D-E-R-E-K. Way, path, journey. Or not is your conjunction M, I-M, followed with your negative particle lo, or if not. Verse 22, then it came about when the camels had finished drinking. Then it came about or came to pass, if you will, simply, you have the wow consecutive in our verb, cal imperfect third master singer, haya, H-A-Y-A-H. When or after is your preposition cough, K-P-H. They had finished drinking. In the first, the verb in the Hebrew, the PL participle, third common plural, they've been satiated, kala, K-A-L-A-H, having finished the camels here, that which is in view, the definite article, in our noun, gamal, G-A-M-A-L, common masculine plural absolute. Drinking, then it's a preposition lama with a cal infinitive construct, shatha, S-H-A-T-H-A-H. That the man took a gold ring weighing half a shekel. A wow consecutive, our verb to take here, cal imperfect third masculine singular, lakach, L-A-Q-A-C-H. The man, our noun, ish, with the definite article here, I-S-H, common masculine singular absolute. A ring of, in the construct here, the common masculine singular noun, nezim, nezim. N-E-Z-E-M, a word for ring. Here of gold is our noun Zahav, Z-A-H-A-B, common masculine singular absolute. Here, a half shekel on weight is the idea here. You have your common masculine singular noun absolute, Beka, B-E-Q-A, in its weight. Translated weighing, common masculine singular construct, third masculine singular suffix, mishakal, M-I-S-H-E-Q-A-L. and 2 bracelets for a wrist, weighing 10 shekels in gold. Wow, conjunction. Our number 2 adjective masculine dual construct, Shanayim. Shenayim. Bracelets is a common masculine plural absolute, Tasamid. Tasamid. For her wrist, you have literally upon her hands, which would then obviously be on her wrist. Preposition all, al, fall with our common feminine dual construct noun with the third feminine singular. Suffix our word for hands, yad, yad. 10 shekels in gold in their weight. You have the adjective 10. Cardinal adjective, feminine singular absolute, asarah, A-S-A-R-A-H. Gold, again, zahab, our noun, repeated, common masculine singular. Then our term, in their weight, is the common masculine singular construct. Again, third masculine plural suffix, mishakal, M-I-S-H-E-Q-A-L. All right, well, we'll pick this up second session. Take a break.